Technology, it's such a big part of our lives. It can be fun, it can be convenient, just like this podcast, which is why University of Missouri Healthcare is proud to support podcasting on KBIA. Technology can also save your life. That's why so many people turn to University of Missouri Healthcare. Its hospitals and clinics offer you the latest technology, plus a medical team whose skill and knowledge are unparalleled. You know technology makes everyday life a lot better. Well, it's true for your healthcare, too. University of Missouri Healthcare, the care you deserve from the team you trust.
Hello, and welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look into stories in science, health, and technology. I'm Raymond Tungekar. Schools across the U.S. are putting more fruits and vegetables on lunch trays and less meat and bread. The changes are meant to counter childhood obesity, but parents say their kids are still hungry after they clean their plates. Harvest Public Media's Grant Gerlach reports that for some schools and families, the changes have been hard to swallow.
It's lunchtime at Elmwood Murdoch High School in rural eastern Nebraska. After the bell rings, students race into line in a small gymnasium that doubles as the cafeteria. Behind the serving window, the trays are loaded with a fish patty on a whole wheat bun and a small pile of curly fries, maybe a smaller pile than last year, because the kids in this and other schools across the country are on a new diet. To get a handle on child obesity, the U.S. Department of Agriculture established new school lunch guidelines for the first time in more than a decade. Parents like Tracy Ziorian, who lives nearby in the small town of Manly, noticed the changes early on.
Gosh, I was starting to see some complaints from the girls last spring about the changes in the meals and not being enough food. And why are they only giving us 3 chicken nuggets when they used to give us 6?
Sitting at the kitchen table, Ziorian says most days she packs a lunch for Callie, a freshman, and Taylor, a senior. Maybe a salad or a sandwich, maybe leftovers or a pack of mac and cheese.
Anything that I feel can really suit that filling of the belly that they're not getting with the school lunches.
Here's why the Ziorians are brown bagging it. For the first time, lunches for high schoolers must add up to at least 750 calories, but no more than 850. Also, students have to take at least one fresh fruit or vegetable, and there are limits on meat.
I read that they're limited to 10 ounces a week, which takes it down to 2 ounces a day. That's nothing.
Maybe it's a Midwestern thing, but for Ziorian, limiting kids to 2 ounces of meat at lunch is almost offensive.
You know, kids have been complaining about school lunch as long as I can remember, from when I was a kid.
Marlene Schwartz supports the lunch changes as deputy director for the Rudd Center for Food Policy and Obesity at Yale University. Schwartz says a lack of protein is not a nationwide problem, but obesity is. Around 18% of teenagers in the U.S. are obese and face a higher risk of heart disease and type 2 diabetes because of it. Part of dealing with obesity, Schwartz says, is changing the traditional idea that meat makes the meal.
I think that the idea here was to decrease the amount of protein and really focus on making sure that kids had room in their stomachs for all of these other foods that they really weren't getting enough of.
Getting used to school lunches might be hard for some kids, but it's a challenge for the schools, too. Dan Novak is the superintendent of Elmwood Murdoch. He says the hard part is balancing healthy portions with student expectations. For instance, to keep meatball subs on the menu, the school had to cut the bun in half.
That is a smaller portion. I mean, you can say what you want, but it is a smaller portion. And so the kids remember getting the large Italian roll with the meatballs in it, and this year they got what looked like the equivalent of a hot dog bun.
At Elmwood Murdoch, sales of school lunch have fallen between 7 and 10% so far this year. Novak says when prices go up and portions go down, some parents get upset and send lunch from home, which may not do much for the obesity epidemic.
Those lunches aren't healthier than what we were serving last year.
Novak feels if the rules were flexible to allow a few more calories or a little more meat, schools could satisfy more kids and parents. Industry groups like the Farm Bureau and the National Cattlemen's Beef Association are recording that kind of feedback to possibly pitch changes to the USDA. A bill introduced in the House of Representatives would roll back the new rules entirely. But Marlene Schwartz at Yale's Rudd Center likes the rules as they are. She puts it on parents to make the most of the changes by working with their schools and their kids.
Part of parenting is being a little bit tougher and saying that, yes, I know, you know, you might be mad that you don't get as many chicken nuggets now as you did before, but here's an apple, and that's better for you, and that's really the right thing to do.
Back in the kitchen at the Zeorian house, Tracy's daughter Taylor speaks up on this point. She's the senior, and she's not a fan of the new version of the meatball sub. Taylor just doesn't believe her peers can be forced to take up new eating habits.
When will we finally hit the point when a kid's going to choose an apple over a bag of chips? I think that's all it comes down to.
It could be that battling obesity will come down to winning the hearts, minds, and stomachs of hungry teenagers. I'm Grant Gerlach, Harvest Public Media.
And now we'll move from school lunches to classroom technology. As some schools struggle with funding, one rural Mid-Missouri school is able to invest in technology despite the tough economic times. KBIA's Evan Townsend has the story.
Ryan Denning teaches history and English in New Bloomfield, a small town 20 minutes north of Jefferson City. Like all teachers in the New Bloomfield School District, Denning's salary is under a pay freeze. He's seen the school suffer large budget cuts, and he recognizes that education funds are low. But thanks to community efforts, Denning is one of two teachers receiving a grant for over $4,000, which they're using to buy clickers for their students.
So I'll put in a question like multiple choice, true, false, short answer. The kids can click in with their little student response system. It's just kind of like being on a quiz show or something. You know, everyone's buzzing in, and you get to see what the results are. It'll be pretty exciting to see what we can do with that.
Dennings was one of 12 teachers who received a grant this fall from the New Bloomfield Education Foundation, a nonprofit that hosts fundraisers and collects donations to grant to the school district. Although it's barely a year old, it's already given close to $15,000 in grants to New Bloomfield teachers. And according to founder Susie Henricks, the entire foundation relies on the investment of the community.
The people who are involved in this foundation are people who care about the academic success of the students at New Bloomfield R3 School District.
Henrik says she started the foundation because she felt the school system wasn't up to date with educational technology.
New Bloomfield has a real need for technology, and our school is behind some other schools in that area, and we recognize that, and we really want to assist the school with their technology needs, and those are big dollars.
6th through 12th grade principal Susan Dockery says clickers are the kind of thing New Bloomfield District would never be able to provide students with its current school funds.
Technology like that, that costs over $4,000, no, we would never be able to carve that out of really a limited supply budget.
Denning, who received his master's in educational technology, says he's thankful for the foundation because the technology will change the way he teaches.
And the kids, I mean, it really engages them, and they are excited to learn. It's really going to enhance what we're doing.
The New Bloomfield Education Foundation plans to award its next grant sometime next year. Evan Townsend, KBIA News.
And that's it for this week's Under the Microscope. To listen to this episode and others, just head to our website, kbia.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Raymond Tungelkar.